Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us for the next hour talking all things Tennessee Titans. We'll take your calls, 615-737-1025 on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The text line still under repair, so hit up our YouTube chat as well, which is flowing right now. So thank you for the comments. Keep them coming on YouTube as well. PK, we talked earlier about inside linebacker. Do we consider the Titans weak at the inside linebacker position? And if so, how detrimental is that actually to a football team, to a defense in today's NFL with the way that the rules have changed and all that? How do you view the Titans as it relates to the inside linebacker position?
I think it's a big concern, especially when you look out there and Jack Gibbons still has a big role. I think inside linebackers need to be able to turn and run and cover in a way that I'm not sure this linebacking group can turn and run and cover. Kenneth Murray's a downhill guy. They've talked about it. He's going to blitz. Cedric Gray, you know, I think we all like the idea of Cedric Gray, but the first thing when a guy gets drafted, especially those of us that aren't, you know, super draft Knicks, you go and look at what Dane Brugler and other experts have said about him. And the first line and virtually every write-up about Cedric Gray is not super instinctive. It goes on to say nice things about him. But the first thing I think all of us would say is, all right, if Kenneth Murray is your first guy, the second guy needs to be very instinctive and able to play well in space, right? If you're not instinctive, that indicates to me that you're not great in space. So I'm curious about the pairing. But then Cedric Gray doesn't even fall in with the ones right out of the gate in the way you would want him to. It's Gibbons. And Gibbons, as smart as he is, well, smarts can get you to the right spot, but it can't get you to the right spot in time necessarily. And I see offenses just trying to get tight ends and running backs around, behind, outside, inside of these guys as often as possible. And that concerns me, especially when the people who would help them, particularly in the form of Elijah Molden, also lacks speed and some durability. And then you go deeper into that group. You know, I like the idea of Chance Campbell, but Chance Campbell hasn't proven that he can stay healthy at all. I think he's played 4 games. Who else are we looking at? Otis Reese, I think, was a pet project of Vrabel.
Vrabel loved him.
And we didn't hear his name at all during the offseason. I don't think he was running particularly high at all, even with Murray out recovering from something. So did they address it? Well, they addressed it, but I don't think they did a good job replacing Azeez Al-Shaair. And I don't think they're better. I mean, we have to see how it works in their system, but I don't think they have what today's NFL requires at the position, which is a certain ranginess.
Yeah, you sounds pretty rough, man, the way you when you say it like that. Jeez. No, we talked about this earlier. I'd like to get your thoughts.
Do you agree with that, Joe?
No, I don't disagree with anything you said. I mean, the Cedric Gray thing is, you're right.
He's got potential.
Yeah, he seems like a promising young player. But that is something that people seem to be kind of united on when they evaluated it.
And the big inside linebacker story this offseason here has been the green dot thing. And the green dot thing has been hugely overplayed. Keith Bullock has said it, and ultimately Callahan said it. The green dot guy is everybody's taken a language class, right? For me, it was French. Écoutez et répétez. Listen and repeat. That's all you're doing. You're hearing something in your head, and you're saying it back to the thing. That doesn't make you the leader of the defense. Now, you'd like it also to be the leader of the defense,
right,
but that doesn't eliminate Amani Hooker from being a vocal leader of the defense or anybody towards the back end of the defense.
Like I said, yeah, I said earlier, really what matters then is, yeah, you relay the call. Then you go cat and mouse pre-snap, and then are you seeing things? Are you seeing what they're doing? You know, that You need that guy.
That could be anybody outside of a defensive lineman's not seeing enough.
No.
Right. Jeff Simmons, smart as he may be, can't do that because he's too close to the ball.
Right.
But as you're further away from the ball, anybody could chime in on that. Now what did Wilson say? You know, obnoxious over communication. Obnoxious over communication is great. You don't want 11 guys talking at the same time. But somebody like Amani Hooker, who's deep, or Snead, or Woozy, or McCreary, or the linebackers, roles can form on that. It doesn't have to be the guy that conveys the signal.
So instinctive, you know, to me, the definition of instinctive was David Long Jr. I think that's how he made up for what he lacked physically, which is why he was a low pick.
Yep.
And the definition of not instinctive was Rashawn Evans, who had all of the gifts and went in the first round. And that's why one of them ended up just taking the other's job. It's like, that guy sees things, has instinct, makes plays. This guy's a half step late. This guy's a half step early. That means
David
everything.
David Long more athletic, though, than Jack Gibbons.
Well, no, for sure. Yeah, it's not like he was a non-athlete or anything like that, but you know, went in the sixth round for a reason, right? Because he's little and he wasn't
Monty Rice the same. Monty Rice, a lesser version on the athletic frame of Evans. Monty Rice looks the part. Did not connect in his brain.
Although also with him, like, just never seemed to like enjoy people or football anything.
Rabel.
Both not Rabel. Us.
Well put.
Teammates. The game. Yeah,
that's a bad pick.
Nashville.
I mean, that's a bad third-round pick.
Very bad pick.
And they were doing well with, you know, sixth, fifth, and then all of a sudden they jump to third and get a worse guy than Avery Williamson, than Jalen Brown, than Long.
If you had to rank it – sorry, Robert, one more thing.
Where they were doing a good job.
This is your show.
Yeah,
you do whatever you want.
Well, I'm revisiting our conversation from earlier, though. So if where would you put this position on the defense in terms of priority of – you know, just sort of like you want great players at this spot. Is linebacker last, inside linebacker last?
In terms of building a team?
Yeah, building a defense, just priority on a defense.
Well, I think this franchise has almost always thought through all these regimes it's a get-by position. Randall Godfrey was a huge addition to the 1999 Titans when they went into 2000, and he's one of the main reasons the 2000 team was better than the 99 team. But rare has it been that they've had somebody outstanding either as the middle linebacker in a 4-3 or as the inside guys in a 3-4. Usually, you know, if you have a good defensive line that can keep those guys clean – you want them to be efficient tacklers, and you want them to be good enough to run and cover. I think it's become a more important position in terms of what you do against tight ends and backs in the passing game. And I don't know that the Titans are greatly equipped for that. Robbie, that'd be a good exercise for us to look. We looked at the quarterbacks they're facing. We could look at the quality of pass-catching backs and the quality of tight ends they're facing this year as a fear factor.
Yep, we could do that. We could also, Joe, if you wanted to, subscribe to some theories that get thrown out there our way on this show of stop drafting people from Georgia. Isaiah Wilson, Monty Rice. Just stay away from Georgia,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, for sure. That's just they don't produce any good pros.
Meanwhile,
stay
Philadelphia.
The heck away.
Philadelphia's got the entire defense from 2021 in Georgia. 615.
Different story.
737-1025 is our phone number.
Pick the right guys from Georgia.
More coming up next with Paul Kurarski, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. What the heck happened to Nickelback? It's Nickelback Day. What is this?
Well, he did this to me yesterday, too. He didn't play that many Beck songs yesterday.
What are we doing?
He did not give this microphone stand Viagra, as he promised he would. And, I mean,
it's still struggling.
I don't know how a human being could be expected to do an hour or three at this microphone stand. I'm going to have neck pain and end up at a chiropractor and send you the bill.
It's been a struggle the last couple of weeks with this thing.
You've got it. You've got it.
Right now.
It looks
but
like
still,
it's a
I'm
spot.
A little hunched. But look, Joe, if I put it where I want.
Oh my
God. It just comes all the way
it's
back
in
now.
My lap. Oh. I'm now broadcasting with the microphone in my chest.
Spit on that thing.
Check two.
Oh boy.
I know what you want me to say, and I'm not saying.
Talk to her.
Boy, is she world famous or what? She's got a lot to say outside
of
that. I've seen her on some shows and stuff, and boy, she's
milking it up.
Fountain of conversational topics.
Is that right?
Oh God. She's like your average sports talk show at this time of year.
Just a lot of stuff.
Mount Rushmore is the talk to us.
Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore.
Top four.
PK, we were talking about the defense as a whole, and I was telling Rex, you could talk me into a lot of things with this defense. You could talk me into them being pretty good when you look at their secondary and what they've done specifically at corner with Harold Landry, a fully healthy offseason, Sweat alongside of Jeffrey Simmons. And you could also tell me who's rushing the passer outside of Harold Landry and Jeffrey Simmons.
Mike Herndon, his piece is coming up. I'll edit it in the hour after we're here and post it. And he poses, and I agree with this, that an additional pass rusher is a bigger deal than a safety for Molden. I think we've undervalued that throughout. I mean, don't even think about it like who's rushing the passer from the outside of Harold Landry and Arden Key. Think of it. What happens if Harold Landry twists an ankle and he's out for 3 weeks? Or even Key is, who they're down on. Look, it's interesting if you follow the trajectory of Key, right? Jim Wyatt and I talked to Callahan about Key at the owners' meetings, and he said, situational guy, right? Didn't mention any of the other guys. Now, we get to OTAs, and he says, he's got every opportunity to play every down. Which is basically the undertone is we've got no choice, you know. And Key says himself, like, look, I've been called a situational pass rusher forever. I end up out there more than that. You know, when I've played my best run defense, they've told me I'm amongst the best in the league, which is outrageous. But we know that Key talks outrageously, and that's what makes him
stuff.
Fun.
I'm just glad they're
fun and a great guy. And he's a very enjoyable guy to be around. And the guy does make some big plays and stuff, but he's not known for edge setting. Just after that, I mean, Weaver is what Weaver is, right? I wrote a piece about have we seen the ceilings on some of these guys. I think Weaver is a guy, we know what Weaver is going to be. Like, they may make him a little bit better, but the odds that we go, oh, my God, Rashad Weaver, could you ever have imagined this? I think are exceptionally low.
I agree, but I would counter this real fast that, okay, so we don't even know after Hooker, you know, it's
well, they have a bunch of guys on the roster.
They have guys. I have no idea if any of them can play, though.
Well, I don't either.
So, I mean, if you, so play the same game with safety and get someone hurt. Oh, get Hooker hurt.
They still need
you're right. Neither situation is good.
That's pretty close.
Neither situation is good, but you don't rotate safeties.
That's
they,
true.
They still need another, to me. Another safety. Like, they need to go add another safety.
I agree.
I
but
know TD likes Matthew Jackson, so, you know.
Yeah, I think he likes Matthew Jackson too much. But here's the thing. You could add, to me, a mid-range safety. If it's not Justin Simmons, if it's not Condre Diggs, you can add a middling safety, a guy with some experience. And they've had some success doing that. Terrell Edmonds, you know, came in a trade, but that kind of guy will be out there. Is there a significant edge rusher that's out there? I mean, I'm still curious about Carl Lawson.
That was my next question. Like, who the heck can they get?
Carl Lawson, if he doesn't have an injury issue, I don't understand.
He was why a dynamic
not
player not long
worth
ago.
Worth a flyer. And last year, look, he had a back problem coming in, but once he was right, really, he was out of the rotation because there were better guys in front of them, and they had, crazy as it is, depth. I mean, he was out based on depth. It and seemed like if you read up what was going on with the Jets.
Ngakoue's still out there. Fell off the table pretty starkly.
He needs to play on every team in the NFL. You have to do your part and make sure that he plays on every team in the NFL.
I just can't see them going super old. And he's the kind of guy that he'll go.
How old is Ngakoue?
He's not as old as you think. He's only 29.
Yeah, Lawson, is that right? Lawson's yeah. also 29. Yeah. I would
prefer Lawson.
So this
Ngakoue is the kind of guy like he would go when he goes to Baltimore. He's great. If he comes here, he'll do nothing.
This always
it's
gets
like
into
the Titans jinx.
Yeah, this gets into the question of why is someone a free agent, right? Like, we have some people around here who think Ryan Tannehill's a free agent because no one even wants him as their backup, which of course is ridiculous. He wants a starting job, and he's been selective.
He's decided, and there's a guy like this virtually every year to wait until somebody gets hurt.
So that's the, so you look at a Carl Lawson. Is it the same thing with him? He's
maybe.
Like just being selective, or is it like the because sometimes it's like, yeah, look at why someone's a free agent. If everyone isn't signing them, why is that, right?
Well, he also may be deciding, like, I can skip 2 weeks of camp.
Well, there's that too.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be doing that all the time.
Now, camp is nothing compared to what it used to be, but it's still
worth skipping.
Yeah, if you can. Yeah, yeah, absolutely worth skipping 2 weeks of camp.
I think everything that you guys just highlighted kind of illustrates what I'm talking about. There's a wide range of what this defense could be. I mean, I could see it being pretty good, and I can also see it being a problem. Like, everybody felt like – I'm not going to speak for everybody. Most people felt like the defense was going to be a strong point of the team coming out of camp last year.
I sure did.
And it was average at best. It was okay. This year, I don't know. Like, I feel great about corner if everybody stays healthy, and I feel great about Landry. Simmons, we've talked about. He's got to play better. I have no idea what they're going to get out of Sweat. I mean, it could be – they have the ingredients to be pretty good, but if a couple of things break wrong for them, it could be bad.
Well, look,
it could be a
we've
bad
talked
defense.
About inside linebacker depth. We've talked about safety depth. We've talked about edge depth. We need to add defensive line depth. All these guys after Simmons and Sweat, who we're putting expectations on. Sebastian Joseph Day is, you know, just a guy or just a guy plus. He's a veteran who's done some things, but he's not Danico Autry by any means.
For sure.
And after that, when you're talking Coburn and those guys,
Davidson,
are mishmash who are, you know, Bohanna, is he the one that's friends with Sweat? I mean,
no,
when a guy's
Coburn,
when Coburn's best quality is friends with Sweat, I mean, they're talking like Coburn's going to help Sweat through the season. Well, Coburn has to make the roster first, and he can't make the roster because he's friends with Sweat. Those three guys are hardly sure things. So there's a big depth issue on the defensive line. So we just hit everything except corner on depth.
By the way,
right? And the corner depth's only good because they drafted Brownlee, right? Who can play inside and outside, which gets you out of John Glennon's guy, Trey Avery, hopefully. But they're one, you know, even at corner, they're one turned ankle away from being one turned ankle away from. Now, that's not bad, right? The corner depth, you got to be pretty satisfied.
Yeah, feel pretty good about
feel
corner.
Pretty good. But every other position, the depth is horrible.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up next with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. Got some of your Titans thoughts to get to as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Because we are just the one. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser, Paul Kuharsky with us here on the program. Thank you, Nick, for some Nickelback in the background.
I mean, how bad is Nickelback, Kuharsky? Help me out. Back me up here,
buddy.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan.
You fan of Beck?
Beck?
Yeah.
Some early Beck was cool. Odelay?
Yeah, he even knows the album name.
That was good stuff. I have great Rex Road moment and our potential moment. I don't know. My brother is a little bit of a introvert from Greenville, South Carolina, 12 years older than I am. But maybe a weekend coming up, the weekend of August 9th, he would come in keyed around going to see Bush at Municipal.
Now we're talking.
I know you hate Bush. And maybe we'd invite you to come to Bush, or maybe I'll get you a seat behind us so you don't drag us down. But then I constantly check on you, record you, a ton of show content.
Bush is playing Municipal?
Yeah, with somebody else. I don't know who. That's somebody decent.
Interesting.
Dude, Bush will put on a good live show.
I mean, yeah, I hate them not as intensely as some of the other bands.
Oh, good. But I thought you had an intense
hatred. I mean, I hate them.
What a week that could be for you. August the 9th, Bush.
And then the next day they play who, Seattle?
And then August the 13th at Ascend is Creed. That could be a heck of a week for you, man.
It's Bush, Jerry Cantrell, who I know nothing about.
Alice in Chains. And I would go see Jerry Cantrell.
And Candlebox, who I also know nothing about.
Yeah, they suck too. Yeah. And Creed.
Now, my brother's the kind of guy that sneaks. Now, my brother's 12 years older than I am. All right? 12 years older than I am, and you know I'm old.
Yes.
And he's the kind of guy that still sneaks alcohol into concerts.
Good for him.
For financial gain.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just doesn't want to pay cocktail prices.
Well, if I go to Bush and you sneak me in some grain alcohol to deal with the...
First off, it's just Creed at August 13th.
They don't need all these backing bands.
And then if you miss that, November the 8th at Bridgestone, you can check out Creed and Three Doors Down, which I can tell you now.
Three Doors Down.
I'll be there.
Listen, if Jerry Cantrell and Candlebox are playing, does that mean I'm only getting 45 minutes of Bush?
That's a great question. Here's something else.
I need at least an hour of Bush.
I'm sure.
And I know how all this sounds, but it's the band's name. I mean, you could go ahead and snatch that up as clips and play it or whatever, take it out of context.
Bro.
I'm going to see the band Bush.
More Blue Chew.
And I need at least an hour of Bush.
Are you dropping any of this, Keezer?
No, he's not paying any attention. He has no idea.
By the way,
it's your one-year anniversary, Keezer.
Constantly.
We talked about gaming the system earlier.
That's his response. Hit that button.
Weed.
If Kowarski's talking crap about me, I'll just hit
and
this
And yet,
button.
It works every time.
It works every time.
Now, they're playing the California Exposition and State Fair in Sacramento on July 24th alone. Jerry Cantrell and Candlebox. Now, you know you're getting an hour and a half out of them there.
We were talking about game in the system earlier. I just logged on to Vivid Seats for the Creed concert, and the notification immediately comes up. Creed tickets are selling out fast. Don't miss out.
Complete your
purchase right now before they're snatched up.
What the hell is wrong
up.
With people?
All right, so what do we think I'm paying for tickets? Just give me a guess.
For Bush?
Yeah, for Bush and these two other people who I don't know at all.
You've never heard of Alice in Chains? I mean, that's
yeah, I've heard of Alice in Chains.
They're a much better band than Bush who could ever pray to be.
All right, you have your opinion, I have my opinion.
I'm going to go at Municipal.
At Municipal, which is a dump.
I'll go $60.
God, I hope it's not more than 30.
Right in the middle there, 43.56.
Factoring all the fees?
That, no. Oh, yeah, factoring in the fees.
Okay.
Ticket price, $33 plus $10.56 service fee, which is an absolute scam.
So... Per your rent, someone that the system knows has musical taste gets them for what, 20?
Maybe so. Is your phone charged?
How do you get it? Oh, yeah. Maybe I need to get off my Mac.
Log on to. I got a PC. Just log on
over
here.
I gotta go buy a crappy PC.
Do you have a Commodore 64? Get a Commodore 64 in there.
Go get the crappiest, oldest PC I can get that connects to the internet.
Yeah.
Go connect to the internet at like the library. Not the Brentwood Library.
Dial up.
Whose library should I go to? And then buy my
Saudi Daisy. They got a library
Lebanon?
Down there?
Lebanon. Lebanon got invited to the Titans media day, but Nolensville didn't. Cool.
How did that? Are we sure they didn't get invited, or did they decline? They're so big time that they declined.
That's a fair point.
Why don't you send a text and find out?
I should find out before I rip the Titans for the whole
Ravenwood's
season.
Ravenwood's there.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's there.
Yeah.
Sure.
Except Nolensville.
Yeah, you ought to check on that.
Teams got... Thompson State.
I think you ought to check on that. I feel like they declined.
I hope so.
Anthony on YouTube. Have y'all spoken about Hard Knocks? They got our old defensive coordinator, Shane Bowen, making some appearances.
I watched the hiring of Shane Bowen. It's pretty funny because Daboll comes in to Shane's office. Shane, the GM, right? That's how you pronounce his name.
I believe so.
Not to be confused with Bowen. And he says, yeah, I'm going with... I'm going to go with Shane. And I'm going to go with Shane Bowen. And he comes over and he's scrolling through all these rankings. First in points, 27th in this, blah, blah, blah. Wouldn't the GM be familiar with all of this stuff
through the interview process?
It's as if he's telling him for the first time.
They
were really good in these categories, which are really important to us and me. And I'm like, this is weird that he's telling him this like he hasn't reviewed him. Yeah, in like this
cramming
regard.
For the final, man.
So then Bowen comes in and he's in a meeting with like all the personnel executives and all the brass, all the upstairs people. And he's like making a presentation about what he wants defensively. I might have misheard him, but I think he says like, this all starts with inside linebacker. Which is bizarre to me based on the way the Titans treated
it
inside.
We
got to
stop that formation running.
We got to find us a Jack Gibbons. but I think maybe he's talking based on the shape of the Giants roster. But then he's talking broadly about how they're going to be, and he's like describing the Titans defense. He's like, we're going to rush with the front four. Now they've got Dexter Lawrence. This is before they traded for Burns. But he's basically describing the Titans defense, and I'm just wondering, like, is this really the shape of a Shane Bowen defense, or did Shane Bowen fall into what the Titans had personnel-wise, and is that now a Shane Bowen defense?
It's a good question. Is he going to correct anybody's mistakes out there on the Giants practice field?
Isn't that true of most coaches, though? You know what I mean? Like, aren't most coaches – how many coaches are actually innovators who come up with their own stuff? They all borrow from each other. They'll steal from each other.
No, I know, but, like – When Brian Billick got to Baltimore, he had something he wanted to do. Now, he fell into something completely different, and that became his thing. But when he walked in on the first day, he wasn't saying, we're going to be the best defense since the Bears. Like, that came later. Initially, he was saying, we're going to sling it around.
Yeah.
Because that's what I did in Minnesota, right? When Vrabel got here, he said, coverage multiplicity and front, what?
We're going to develop Marcus into a
superstar. Front multiplicity.
Front multiplicity and coverage consistency.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well, see, it's hard to remember it because it's ultimately not, the coverage was not consistent.
It was consistently
not good.
615-737-1025. I will say I've seen some I have not sat down and watched the entirety of these Hard Knocks stuff. But the some of the clips that have come out, particularly there's a conversation where they're talking to Saquon Barkley. Like, it's pretty cool to hear the inside access, like the actual conversation about the contract on
and
phone.
Joe cool. points that's out that this is thing. Completely controlled by the Giants. Yeah, completely
ridiculous.
Controlled.
Yeah. I'm basically
so this
out
is
on Hard Knocks.
Giants
now.
TV
so bad.
With Hard Knocks branding.
Yeah, these teams have.
And I didn't even know this existed until I saw it. I stumbled onto it on HBO.
These teams have whined and complained, and they just want it to be, you know, their version of a hagiography. They want
but
it
you
to
know
be
what?
Their own stuff. Hard Knocks used to be good.
I'm tired of it, too.
Hard Knocks is not good anymore.
But like Robbie, I stumbled onto it, and I found some compelling TV there.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, I hate, and this is...
And offseason, we've not seen the offseason as much.
Exactly. We've not seen the offseason as much. I hate the stupid, if you made the playoffs before you can say no to it rule. Like, who cares? Like, just because you made the playoffs
Couple
gives you the right
weeks.
To say no? It's stupid. I hate it.
It's kind of like the All-Star game for a while, you know?
Well,
everyone's
I think
the All-Star game gets home field.
Yeah,
in the
I think they
World
need
Series.
To make it less formulaic. Look, I don't want to follow the story of little Timmy, who came from Arkansas junior state, and you know it looks like he has a chance, but you know he's not going to make it. Like you got to get away from predictable storylines.
Yeah, sometimes those storylines are interesting. If they are, great. But yeah, I agree. They always try to find those, and sometimes they're not interesting.
We'll have more with Paul Kuharski coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Paul Kuharski brought to you by A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Paul Kuharski, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning, taking your thoughts on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, we got some thoughts on the YouTube chat.
Yeah, Herlief, or Leaf, in parentheses. What do you guys think about signing Emmanuel Ogba or that guy we talked about already, Yannick Ngakoue? And I said, yeah, I'm on either of those guys. You know, low price. I think some kind of signing does make sense. Look, the Larson thing does intrigue me a little bit that PK brought up earlier, because
he'd be my top guy. Something's got to be up with Ogba.
But I'm guessing that Lawson is not signed because he's asking too much, and so then the question is, if that's true, how far down will he come? I'd be hesitant to pay a lot for any of these guys. But they need another answer for sure. I mean, we haven't talked about some of their young guys, but I just don't know what you can realistically expect from, you know, I understand that Caleb Murphy last year was kind of a nice UDFA with some tremendous, and he's got a little bit of talent.
People are way too excited about him.
Thomas Rush had some prominent placings this spring, I thought.
I mean, it's prominent placings because there's nobody else to put there.
I understand, but I'm just saying he's ahead of some of these other guys, and Jalen Harrell, of course, they drafted him. But, yeah, it seems like they need another answer.
There's another guy, Tyus Bowser, who was injured last year. You know, you wonder where he is. But 2 years ago, he was pretty well-regarded in the Baltimore organization, right? And I think he's younger. That's another. So there are names. Ogba, Lawson, Bowser, Ngakoue. I mean, there are four potential guys there that can help you.
Well, the thing with this position is, and you brought it up earlier, what happens if Landry goes down or if they lose really anybody? Like, at edge rusher, there's just no depth. Like, people – I agree with you. Like, the Rashad Weaver stuff, the people that think that he's just all of a sudden going to turn into some big-time player for them, it's not going to happen.
I don't know those people. I don't know any of those people. I think the most optimistic Titans fan knows what Rashad Weaver is.
It's just not going to happen at this point. So, they're one injury away from being in a real problem when it comes to edge rusher right now. So, like, if you wanted to take a flyer on an Ngakoue, whatever. Like, I don't have high expectations that at this point in his career, he's still an overly effective pass rusher. But I also, like, I think the Titans are in a condition with their edge rushing position right now where if you took a flyer on a guy like that, I wouldn't hate it. Just to have another body there.
And let's just flip this quickly. Offensively, you know, we're talking a lot about the offensive line depth, but the back end offensive linemen are probably going to be better than the back end offensive linemen have been in some time. And Bill Callahan has been expert recently at having guys ready to take over what they went four deep at left tackle last year, I think, in Cleveland, right? Tight end would be a problem. Running back, if one of your main guys went down, you could turn your other guy into a full-timer. Receiver, look, we can make all the NWI jokes you want, but if one of their top three went down, Burks and NWI should make you relatively whole there.
Yeah. Who's making NWI jokes?
Well, I am, generally. And a lot of people.
They don't hit.
Zach Lyons will do it as well. What position did I miss there? The depth on offense is substantially better than the depth on defense, barring tight end, I would say. Right?
Yeah, I think it's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very interesting. Like, you're not rooting for injuries anywhere, but if they get knocked, you want them to get knocked. Even Mason Rudolph is a much better backup than a lot of backups on the roster throughout. Now, your quarterback's the number one guy. You don't want to get hurt, et cetera, et cetera. But if they get knocked, you want them to get knocked on offense.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Now, The Snead thing is going to be interesting. We've talked about him at corner specifically, but like if his knee's a problem, all of a sudden you look at corner on the outside and it's like, all right, well, you've already put somebody on the field that you don't want to put. Like, they need those three guys to be relative.
If his knee's a problem, like, right away, then all of a sudden I look at this offseason completely differently.
Yes, exactly.
I think
you are the one team that did it, right?
Yeah. Well, they admitted early that they were going to manage it. They had a plan for it, all of that. Rand said, you know, as long as he's available Thursday, Sunday, Monday, Thursday's not a consideration now. But that builds in practice time for Brownlee or for somebody. So, you know, if you're immediately looking for silver linings, that guy who's going to have to play for Snead if he can't play on Sunday is going to be well practiced because Snead's probably not practicing a lot.
Positive PK. Very nice. I'm just saying
it's a fact. never mind Jarvis. Brownlee and Snead. What about Trey Avery?
Ryan, we did not get Mike's thoughts on Trey Avery last year. I was interrupted. So yeah. Your thoughts.
I was rudely interrupted by a Vrabel tirade that was the first emotional outburst of his career and a massive story that I just wanted to put the kibosh on. Have we made it through one show without – do we have the audio of that?
We have it somewhere. We've got to read.
Next week we need it.
We need the John Glennon.
Let's let him speak for himself. By the way,
Vrabel exchange.
Before we go, Leaf says, let's constantly roast the most consistent receiver the Titans have had the past 3 or 4 years. Thank you, Leaf. PK can't help himself.
If the bar is incredibly low, but the guy's consistent. Hey, let's salute Kyle Phillips. Practice. Unbelievable.
NWI's been a good player. You're full
good
of crap.
Player. If you compare him to the standard of an NFL receiver.
No one's saying that.
Well, that's what I want
Stop
on a
making jokes.
Team.
You have to make jokes about him. Be
the
a
guy's
pro.
Been a great Titan. But compare him to the league and he stinks. But let's throw him a parade.
BK, thank you for being with us.
Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks and all of those things. And play
it.
Immaculate Grid correctly.
Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier coming up next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.